It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday the 12th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. There are a lot of players in the net neutrality game, and this week they're all making moves. A video statement from the president kicked it all into high gear.
I'm asking the FCC to reclassify internet service under Title II of a law known as the Telecommunications Act. In plain English, I'm asking them to recognize that for most Americans, the internet has become an essential part of everyday communication and everyday life.
Translating his own request into plain English gives you a sense of just how tricky this debate has been, right? On the one hand, you have startups, streaming companies, and consumers who want equal access to all online data. On the other, you got internet service providers and others who shun regulation and say the free market should help with their cost of building infrastructure. We wanted to ask a few people on different sides of this debate to weigh in, see if you can guess who falls on which side here.
Why should we still care about this? To prevent government from regulating the internet.
Okay, that one should be easy enough to guess. It's Danielle Coffey, VP and General Counsel at the Telecommunications Industry Association. Here's UPenn Law Professor Christopher Yu.
Imposing telephone-style regulation on the internet would be moving backwards, not forwards.
All right, that seems pretty anti-Title II as well, right? And now Susan Crawford, visiting professor at Harvard Law School.
Americans at their best are never cynical. FCC, be brave.
Crawford there with her heart on her sleeve. Hard to know which voice of the chorus FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler will listen closest to. He's reportedly meeting with broadband carriers, members of Congress, and public advocates this week. From one regulatory snarl to another, here in New York City, the arrival of ride-sharing companies Uber and Lyft has generated heated debate. And in a somewhat surprising move, Attorney General Eric Schneiderman has come out against a new proposed rule in front of the city's Taxi and Limousine Commission. It would restrict those two companies' operations in New York. We asked our friend and New York Times tech columnist Molly Wood to weigh in on this. She says the city is trying to thread a regulatory needle.
So let's say you own your own taxi, and sometimes you drive for the New York City Taxi Commission. Other times you drive for Uber on your spare time, and you pick up rides from Lyft, too, because that's a great way for you to make money.
And the suggestion is that all of those organizations have to agree to share you.
Exactly. So what Lyft said is Uber has all the drivers. If they say no, we don't want to share, then we, Lyft, are essentially out of business. So there were some good reasons for an agreement like this, but what the Attorney General said is that it's definitely a problem in terms of competition and that there's probably a middle ground that could ensure things like insurance and liability without having to make these kind of really unusual business agreements.
What's interesting about this to you?
I think it is interesting that the Attorney General essentially took a stand that said we need to allow for competition in the driving industry. And I think for consumers, I think we all realize that we need competition when it comes to the taxi industry.
What about drivers?
Drivers are still in an interesting position. I think that the overarching issue is whether those drivers are being treated fairly and whether they are being given the opportunity to be full-time drivers and have things like benefits and comprehensive insurance. And I think that is still an open question when it comes to a lot of these kind of convenience-based services.
Molly Wood, our friend and technology columnist at the New York Times. Molly, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
However you feel about hydraulic fracking, some facts are crystal clear. It's a huge and growing industry, and its byproduct is the kind of water you wouldn't want to wash even your worst enemy in. The stuff is gross. But where there's a problem, there is a group of innovators who want to clean it up. From Pittsburgh, Reed Frazier reports.
Inside a big industrial building in Pittsburgh, Mike Broker shows off what he hopes is the next big thing in cleaning up the fracking business.
We have 3 8-foot diameter satellite dishes.
Broker is with Epiphany Solar Water Systems. His company uses these satellite dishes to clean up the briny wastewater that collects at hydraulically fractured oil and gas wells. This waste stream is toxic, and it's hard to clean, at least not cheaply. The satellite dishes have a special coating that helps them absorb solar heat and evaporate clean water out of tanks of the salty waste. Broker says it's actually the same technology bootleggers use to make moonshine.
The same concept. It is distillation.
They make whiskey, but you guys make...
pure water.
Epiphany started a few years ago to treat drinking water in the developing world. But when the fracking boom came, the company sensed an opportunity. So did a lot of other companies. But it's been a difficult technology to master, and few have succeeded.
It's such low-quality water that the technologies crash and burn when they try to treat it.
Brent Giles is an analyst with Lux Research. He says the high salt content of fracking wastewater, it's up to 10 times saltier than the ocean, has tripped up companies trying to treat it. That much salt destroys equipment and clogs up filters. But Giles says it's not hard to see why they tried to get into the fracking waste business.
In the U.S., we see about a $1 billion market.
And that market could grow to $9 billion by next decade. Right now, it's cheaper to recycle the waste or inject it underground. But underground disposal comes with its own issues, like earthquakes. Some in the fracking industry think regulation might make injection wells more expensive in the future. And if that happens, companies that can clean the water up could get a flood of new business. In Pittsburgh, I'm Reed Frazier for Marketplace.
All right, that's all we have time for today. Remember, you can find us on Twitter. We're at Marketplace Tech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.